Out on the Limb with Dr. Nicola Bird in partnership with Beauty and Wellness TV, your one stop for leading a happy, healthy, and successful life. Celebrating life and illuminating mind, heart, body, and soul.
Welcome, welcome. I am Dr. Nicola Bird. I am a psychotherapist and I am the founder of Self-Imaging Therapy. Thank you for being here with me today at Out on the Limb. We are here to celebrate life and to illuminate the mind, the heart, the body, and the soul. And as always, we have an amazing show. My theme today is joy in the face of adversity, embodied by my very special guest today, Greg O'Brien. Greg was diagnosed with an early onset of Alzheimer's disease in 2009 at the very premature age of 59. Greg, a brave man that he is, decided to tackle his disease and imminent decline by frankly writing about this journey in his latest book, On Pluto, Inside the Mind of Alzheimer's. On Pluto has won numerous awards, and Greg is also the subject of the short film, A Place Called Pluto. Greg is here today to share with us strategies for embracing adversity with strength, determination, optimism, and humor. So we can certainly learn a lot from Greg. Greg, I'm so appreciative of you being here today with us.
I'm honored to be here. Thank you very much.
Well, I know, Greg, that it is expected that an estimated 10 million baby boomers will develop Alzheimer's. So that's quite an alarming number. And of those who reach to the age of 85, nearly one in two will get it. And because there's no way to prevent it, you know, a cure or even slow the progression of the disease, every one of these 10 million boomers will either die from Alzheimer's or from it, with Alzheimer's or from Alzheimer's. So it can be, you know, I think it's, I mean, we hear so much about it now. It's certainly very prevalent in the media and news, and as it should be. And so, Greg, I know that you carry a marker of the gene for Alzheimer's, and you're no stranger to this disease at all. Your maternal grandfather and your mother died. What has this journey been? Now you've been diagnosed. That's quite the journey. Yeah.
Well,
what's it been like for you?
On my side, it's on both sides. My paternal uncle died recently.
Oh.
Alzheimer's, and before my father passed away, he was diagnosed with dementia. And I started several years ago experiencing the symptoms, horrific short-term memory loss, not recognizing people, places where I've known all my life, loss of sense of self. And it progresses. Alzheimer's is a death in slow motion. It's like having a sliver of your brain shaved every day. And I also carry the marker gene APOE4, and it appears to be on both sides of the family. But there is a stereotype of Alzheimer's you're 85 years old and you're in a nursing home. And, you know, as Bugs Bunny says, don't take life too seriously because nobody gets out alive. And so you're going to die, as we all do. But Alzheimer's is a disease that can take 15 to 20 or more years to run its course. And as a society, we've only started to pay attention to this disease when it's in its final stage. But there are people suffering, me, others, millions of them, in day-to-day struggles trying to fight through this. And these individuals, have been reticent to speak out because of the word dementia. I mean, it has a Latin root of a demon howling in the desert. And we have to make Alzheimer's popular. And that's...
Right. Well, whatever threatens it scares us. So, you know, that we can all, you know, meet this or experience this or suffer from this, anything like that, it always gets like a, you know, humans tend to stigmatize things that we don't understand or that we're afraid of.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important that you start, and I mean, the fact that you're here and, you know, the face of it, and that you have this family, and then you are living this, how have you dealt with your fear of this or the threat of this yourself?
Well, you got to deal with it every day. And I deal with it with faith, hope, and humor. And without that, I'm a dead man walking. When I first got the diagnosis, I went into my pity party, and then I had the WTF talk with God, and then I decided, well, why don't I do something with my muscle memory and write about this as a journalist, which I did.
Mm-hmm.
And so I began to compile 1,000 pages of notes, and the first thing I wrote down were all the things that I thought I was going to forget about my life. The second thing was taking notes of the progression of my mother and my own progression. And then with the help of a couple of New York Times bestselling authors, friends of mine, and most significantly Lisa Genova, who wrote the New York Times bestselling novel Still Alice, which I'm sure everyone's aware mm-hmm. of, have seen the movie, and Lisa wrote the foreword to my book, and it's a close friend, and was able to produce On Pluto Inside the Mind of Alzheimer's, which is the first book ever written by an investigative reporter embedded inside the mind of Alzheimer's, chronicling the progression of his own disease. And it's not a misery memoir. It's a book about strategy and how to deal with this long kiss goodbye.
Well, I certainly think that approaching any challenge in life, be it Alzheimer's or anything else, from that angle and that strategy, really does change our experience of it, and the message is larger, than Alzheimer's in terms of anyone listening. I mean, I think that, and I mean, not in any way diminishing the incredible impact of and what you're struggling with. It's, but your strategies are a larger takeaway for anyone reading it, basically is what I'm saying. You don't have to be ensconced in Alzheimer's or have anyone to really have a powerful takeaway from your book.
Well, it's a book about fighting, and I think in life, we all want nice homes and good looks and nice cars and money in the bank. That's nothing wrong with that, but I think the measure of an individual is how you respond when you get knocked on your ass. And there are times in our lives when all of us get knocked on our ass. And so this is a book that is about Alzheimer's. It's about the strategies of Alzheimer's, but it goes beyond Alzheimer's. Into that
was my takeaway.
Yeah, into that area of as I said before, my right now in my progression, 60% of my short-term memory at times can be gone in 30 seconds. I don't recognize people I've known all my life, including my own wife on two occasions. I don't recognize familiar places. I see things that aren't there. They're hallucinations at times. I go into tremendous rage. There are times I pick up a phone and a cell phone and don't know how to remember how to dial and get so angry, throw it across the room or pick up my lawn sprinkler in the backyard and don't know what it does and throw it against a tree. Or there are times in the wintertime, I live on Cape Cod and we have a wood stove, and there are times when I've opened the wood stove and my brain has told me it's okay to push back that smoking hot piece of glass with my right hand until it burns in a second degree burn. And that's a lights off in the head. I tell people that Alzheimer's is someone turning a light off in your head, and then it goes back on. It goes off and it goes back on, and it's and at some point it goes off and it doesn't go back on again.
How did you come to find a way to deal with this? I mean, because I think you talked about your first, the pity party, raging at God, and then you came to humor, which is so much of, I mean, when anything challenging happens to most, us, we do first stage of the grief is the anger, the rage, the pity party, that kind of thing. And then the transition towards empowerment or the able or healthy coping is to find a means to manage in a way that we can empower ourselves, which is what your journey is, and not succumb to the fear, which you must experience when you go through those moments. You must, you know, find yourself sinking into those fears.
Yeah, I mean, you have to pull yourself out of those fears. I mean, I have a traditional faith. I was raised, and I'm happy to talk about it, but I'm not here to proselytize. I was raised Irish Catholic, but I'm a bit more evangelical, and I tell people, don't tell my relatives in Dublin because I'll get stoned. But my mind used to be my best friend, and now I see no chance for a reconciliation. And I've learned to write and speak from the heart, and I believe that's the place of soul, what survives, however anyone wants to define it. Our bodies become ashes, and I believe our soul, spirit, whatever you want to call it, survives.
Mm-hmm.
And have you ever talked to anyone and they say, speak from your heart, tell me what's on your heart? And mm-hmm. that's a different place than what's on your brain, because, as I tell people, do we remember what we want to remember? I mean, how big was that fish that you caught 20 years ago? How long was that home run that you hit? Was that prom dress all that pretty? It's all of those things. Our memories tend to be often what we want them to be, but the place of the heart is really who we are, and I think that's a journey that we all take from the cradle to the grave.
Well, that's incredibly beautiful. It's very moving, for sure, and it certainly gives pause because it shifts us into just a deeper center of where we can, of the many opportunities that come from even any adversity, and even in the face of, as you said, losing, not losing at this point, but certainly not as engaged with your best friend. Your best friend is not as engaged with you as he once was. The brain, you've now formed another relationship, and you formed another bond, and you've opened, so you've been able to let go of that association and find and form another relationship that opens you up to another aspect of reality, so to speak, and connect you to something else. This heart connection, how do you feel that has changed you?
Well, it's made me less judgmental. I used to think I knew it, not knew everything, but now I'm on I'm seeking now, and I'm open, and as the old passage in scripture says, a knock on the door shall be opened. So I'm doing a lot of knocking now, and less judgmental about things in my life, and far more open. And maybe that's an upside, that's a blessing of all kinds. Maybe that's the place that we all need to be. And in my case, it took the process, because it is a process, it's a progression of taking away my prized possession to realize a search mm-hmm. for who I really am. I'm not
that's
there yet, but
found.
I'm on that search.
You're on that journey, and I think that's, I like when you said, and I totally agree, that is the journey of life. I don't know that it's any destination. We keep trying to, we're all working throughout our lives to find that deeper truth and to the meaning, the purpose, and it's not an arrival, it's a continual layering through the challenges we face and the adversities that we encounter, Alzheimer's being yours. And, I mean, what I love about this conversation, by the way, Greg, is that you lift the fear. When I hear you talking, and I think that's why it's so beautiful to have you here today, because, as I said, when I opened that, what we don't know or, we're threatened by, produces a lot of fear in us, and we want, or we stigmatization, you have removed that kind of feeling of, oh, my God, my life is over, and that's so scary, and you know, and again, we distance. I don't want to know about things that scare us. You have given this so much dignity.
I kind of feel my life is just beginning because, again, you know, I have traditional faith values, but that's just my point of view. But I believe the soul lives on forever. So this time here is temporary compared to the rest, and so I don't have the fear that I once did, and that helped me get through it. I'm as the old saying, and it has new meaning for me. I'm comfortable in my own skin, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. I mean, again, you know, it's just so much dignity that you're presenting, and I think, I mean, it's always a powerful message when we can be able to embrace wherever we're at, whatever we're facing, and find a way to not only just, you know, not to succumb to it, but actually find a deeper meaning and a deeper message. And your message is very powerful, and it goes way beyond, again, Alzheimer's, which is what I like about your book. And that's what I mean. And so for the listeners out there, there's an incredible powerful message here beyond just, oh, learning what Alzheimer's is. There's so much depth to your story and to your learning, and again, I commend and applaud you. I mean, one of the questions you said earlier.
By the way, I have my notes open because it's wonderful when you do a radio interview. You can go onto your laptop and pull up notes. There is a quote that I use from Socrates in my manuscript, which I think is. Has value to all of us. It is an unexamined life is not one worth living. And and that has new meaning. An unexamined life is not a one worth living. And when you start to lose your memory, what you think is yourself, you start to examine. And I think that process of going from the cradle to the grave is a process of examination. And so many of us, myself included, I was reticent to examine myself because I was afraid of what I would see. Now I have no choice. And I'm sure people listening who are a lot braver than me and being able to examine themselves, but I wasn't able to until I had no choice. And maybe that's a blessing of Alzheimer's. By the way, if anyone is interested, my book is available in bookstores, but sometimes the easiest place to get it is Amazon.com.
Mm-hmm. On Pluto, that's the name. On Pluto, Inside the Mind of Alzheimer's by Greg O'Brien. So you can just check out On Pluto, and you'll be able to find it for sure. And it's very beautiful in the deeper meaning and the message. And thank you for sharing that. Greg, I did want to go back to some of the more technical parts that you touched on when we first started, and then we got into the deep philosophical, which I think is just so important. However, now, as we are highlighting Alzheimer's, and you know, when you said we want to really bring it to the light and not keep it hidden in the dark, and we want to open up the conversation and the understanding of it, let's talk more about actually what that is. What is the progression? What are the signs? What are the symptoms? How would we know what it is?
Well, there's a difference between losing your car keys and not knowing you have car keys, okay?
Uh-huh.
There's a difference between not being able to find your car in a parking lot and not knowing that you have a car. So, senior moments, so to speak, that we all call happen. It's part of the aging process. A good example, recently on Cape Cod, we take our garbage to the landfill to dump, and so it's kind of a rite of passage in my town. And so I was there and dropped my garbage off. And then I turned around and said, okay, well, how do I get home? And I said, well, you know, I could call my wife or call my kids or someone could drive me. And I drive, at the time, a yellow Jeep. And it was a four-door yellow Jeep. And that yellow Jeep was sitting there right in front of me, and my mind would not recognize that that was my car. And it's the light going off, the neurotransmitters. In my book, I try to simplify Alzheimer's and demystify it. you know, I imagine up in Canada, a lot of people have basements, right? And
yes.
So I asked people, I said, look, you know, how many people have done the laundry in their basement? I do my laundry in the basement on Cape Cod. And I said, how many people have been down there at night doing laundry and someone in the kitchen upstairs doesn't realize you're down there and turns the light out? What happens? You yell, you scream, you get angry, you get scared. And that's what happens when the light goes off in the brain. And you yell, and this is part of the rage of Alzheimer's, in the hope that you can restart the brain. And I know I'm oversimplifying it. I cut up a frog in high school in biology class. It's the only medical background I have, but I am walking through this, and as a journalist I try to simplify it. But it's trying to shake the brain to restart it, and often it does, but then the light goes off again, and over time it goes off more and more, and pretty soon there's no one up in the kitchen to turn the light back on. And that's kind of what Alzheimer's is.
Right.
Well, by the way, I don't know if anyone... Go ahead, sorry.
Go ahead. No, please go. Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure in Ontario if you saw this, but if anyone can, there was a wonderful film. First of all, people should see the movie Still Alice. Secondly, there was a wonderful film about Glen Campbell, the iconic country singer who's and his film was on in the U.S. On Sunday on CNN. Glen Campbell, I'll Be Me, and it's a tremendous film about this man's courage in walking through it. And anyone who gets a chance or can Google Glen Campbell, I'll Be Me, you could learn more about it. But that's a film that people should see.
Wow. I mean, you're here describing this, and as you describe this, and you're aware, because I mean, you know, it's one thing when we're just completely unconscious of something happening to us. But as you are aware that this is happening to you, I mean, obviously in the moment when you don't know that it's your car, that the light goes out, but when your light's not going out, you are aware that it could go out any time. It's that constant sense of vulnerability or lack of control.
Yeah. You know, stress that lack of control, because that's the scary part. You're not in control anymore, and you're second-guessing yourself, and you know, you're on guard, and it's a 24/7 fight. And so what I'm getting at is, sure, you know, the end stage is freaking horrific, but what about all the people in early stages who have 15 or 20 years on this journey who are afraid to talk about this, and they have to live in silence in this, knowing that things will progress? And Alzheimer's, the progression includes other things. I mean, I since I was a young man, I had clinical depression. Alzheimer's, it accelerates depression. It accelerates all sorts of other things. If it, first of all, you know, breaks your mind down, then starts to break your body down because signals aren't getting through. I mean, I haven't had feelings in parts of my hands and my feet for years, you know, and it's you know, now I have spinal stenosis and scoliosis. You know, it breaks, you know, there are times when you say, I can't wait to get out of this body and be free of it. And so all of these people who are afraid to talk about this because they're afraid of the word dementia, they're afraid if they mention this that first of all, people won't want to talk with them, because a lot of that people turn, people, they go, oh God, I can't deal with that, I don't want to talk to you. They get fired from their jobs. I know people who, before they were diagnosed, friends of mine who I've met, who were six-figure earners as brokers and finance people, and they lost their jobs because they couldn't do the math anymore. And the wonderful thing about, I hate to use the word wonderful, that's not the right word, but bad choice. But one of the things about Alzheimer's is, for whatever reason, the creative side, I believe, stays with you longer than the functional side. So left brain, right brain. And if you see the Glen Campbell film, the doctors will tell you that he had that creative touch that stayed with him. The creative touch with me with writing and communication is ever present. They they encourage people with in developing early stages of Alzheimer's to go back to creative things, whether it's writing or dancing or painting. Of course, they tell people to do crossword puzzles and all of that. But it's, you know, I'm hoping that this is good advice for people who are listening, because there's plenty of life left if you have cognitive impairment. And guess what? A lot of us are going to go there. And they say, without a cure, that in 20 years there'll be two types of people in the world, those with Alzheimer's and those caring for someone with Alzheimer's. And what I'm trying to tell people is it's not over. There's hope left. And if we talk about it, there's medications, there are strategies, there's faith, hope, and humor. You can live a productive life along the way. It's just a different life, you know? It's a different life.
Greg, we're wrapping up now, and you've left us with an incredibly empowering message. And again, you have given this, you know, you're the face of dignity, and you're the face of hope, and very inspirational, and that really changes the dialogue and changes the narrative around it. And so I bless you for your offering, for your incredible book on Pluto, Inside the Mind of Alzheimer's, at Amazon, the easiest place, and in bookstores. And you can also check out Greg O'Brien's website on Pluto.org. That's on Pluto.org. And you can click on the message board below as well to link to that information. So, Greg, bless you on your journey. Bless you for being a beacon of light. And thank you for sharing and being the face of dignity.
All right, God bless you. And final thing, Lisa Genova has a new book, Inside the O'Briens. It's about Huntington's disease. So it's another cognitive issue, and people ought to pick up a copy of that.
Thank you. God bless you too, Greg,
all right,
and all the best.
Take care. All right, see you.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, that was a beautiful, beautiful journey with insights into what a takeaway, into how we can really move through our adversities and challenges, and just shifting the lens, shifting the perspective, harnessing different aspects of ourselves, we can still access so many powerful and amazing parts of living and parts of ourselves. And Greg is an inspiration and a face of dignity in the face of adversity. And so bless him for his journey and his inspiration and sharing with us today. This is Dr. Nicola Bird, and you're listening to Out on the Limb with me. And to get more insights on how you can lead your best life possible, go to my website, Wellness Lifestyle Network. That's www.welllife. I have amazing experts on that network, and you're going to get incredible tips and tools to live the amazing life that you so absolutely deserve. And do keep in mind that sometimes you do need to go out on that limb to achieve the happy, healthy, and successful life that you deserve. I'm Dr. Nicola Bird. See you right here tomorrow for another insightful and entertaining segment of Out on the Limb.
You're tuned into Out on the Limb Radio with Dr. Nicola Bird in partnership with Beauty and Wellness TV. Tune in Monday to Friday, 5 p.m. Eastern and 2 p.m. Pacific.